consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Klipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Klipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. This show is about cost. When you're actually involved in the construction process, the two things that are most important to win are the process, how you achieve progress on your home without acrimony, and cost. So today we're going to talk about cost. I'm first going to talk about cost relative to the renovation addition project because of the way it's cost driven. When you build a new home from scratch, the usual approach is to go to the architect and say, here's my budget. What can I buy for it? So you go to the architect and say, I have $1 million to spend. You know, what can I get for my $1 million? When you do a renovation addition project, the architect comes to you and you talk about your dreams and your goals. And you tell them what you want to achieve, and then you say, what will it cost? So it's not about what you have to spend, it's about what achieving that result will cost. About twice a month, I have a consult with someone at their home. Or sometimes, in a consult, is I meet with them, takes about an hour and a half, generally, and we talk about their goals and, you know, the home. And by the end of that hour and a half consult, I've given them the range of options they have for their home, how they can achieve their goals, and also what it will cost. And sometimes I do that, you know, rather than for the home they own, I'll meet them at a home they're thinking about buying. And before they commit, they understand how they can fix the problems with that home or how they can make it special for them. When I meet with people, they tend to think in literal terms. How can I get a better kitchen? I want a master bedroom. I want a master bath. Or I need a garage. I want a screen porch. But I talk to them in terms of is goals and potentials and drawbacks. First, how do we achieve their goals? Maybe their goal is a new kitchen. And which is pretty easy, okay? But while at the same time as achieving their goal, I'm looking at what are the drawbacks of the home, what are the things that aren't right about it, and or there are deficiencies. And so at the same time I'm meeting their goal, I'm saying, well, you've got a deficiency here. And then thirdly, I'm looking at how can we maximize the potential of this home and with this action. So a deficiency might be, okay, you really have a weak front entry, or the house doesn't look like much from the street. These are really serious deficiencies. And if we can fix them at the same time we're meeting some other goal, well, very seldom when you do a renovation addition project, such as a new master bath, very seldom do you get a dollar for dollar return on your investment with just one result. However, it's possible to get better than a dollar for dollar return if you get multiple results from the same action. What am I talking about? Well, okay, we're going to add a garage. Right now, the house looks very weak and insignificant from the street. What if we can make that garage addition, if we can use that to make the house look much more impressive from the street? We've gotten two results from the same action. And often those secondary results, such as making the house look more impressive from the street, are worth more in resale value than the primary result, a place to put two cars. So we are talking, you know, I meet with the couple, usually it's a couple, and we're talking, walking through their house. And first, I don't really say much. I just walk through and listen to them and look around. And hopefully I'm coming up with some really great solutions. My goal is to give the owners a full range of possible solutions. My goal is to give them the easy solution and the cheap solution, but also the wow. You can really do that solution. And sometimes the wow solution isn't much different in cost from the cheap and easy one. It's just being able to envision it. So we're talking, I'm giving them solutions, giving them a range, and inevitably we come to the really tough question. But what is it going to cost? Well, in a way, I could say anything. I could give them a ridiculously low number just to persuade them to hire me and go ahead and design the work. I could give them a really high number to make sure that whatever we actually ended up doing would come out cheaper. And that would justify my charging them a high fee. But the best thing to do, the best action, is to give them the most accurate, true cost that I can. And that is really, really difficult. But why the most accurate, true cost up front? First, I want them to do the job. And then I want them to not be surprised and to not exceed their budget. Quite often, oh, it sounds great and it's worthwhile at $50,000. It's not worthwhile at $80,000. So you don't want to fall into that trap. You also, I have $50,000 to spend. So if you give me an $80,000 solution, it's a failure. I want to win, not lose. Just take a kitchen renovation, for example. I can define the cost of the cabinets, countertops, and appliances. And that's a starting point. I know what $25,000 will buy in cabinets, countertops, and appliances. I know what $40,000 will buy. I know what $60,000 would buy. So based on the house, I know what's best from a market point of view for that house. Based on the owners, I know what, is in their mind and their desires. And I can pin that down. Okay. We're going to have $25,000 for cabinets, countertops, and appliances. Which which is much harder to gauge, though, is the stuff behind the scenes. The plumbing and the electrical rough-in. Painting. Maybe removing a wall or raising a ceiling or putting in skylights. That behind-the-scenes stuff, the other stuff, is much harder to, you know, to figure out the cost of and to control. And often it actually exceeds the cabinets, countertops, and appliances. And in truth, the cabinets, countertops, and appliances aren't controllable either. But I just know from experience that for $25,000, you can buy the proper cabinets for this. You can buy the proper countertop, and you can buy the proper appliances. It's still up to the owners to actually choose those cabinets, that countertop, and those appliances. So you could blow that budget completely. Another one, you know, to look at is a garage. You would think that adding a garage would be a very straightforward project. And in some ways it is. Until you realize, as I just did on the project, that there are 10 giant pine trees that have to be removed. And that ripping out the root balls from those pine trees causes a bunch of extra foundation work. So now, that 500 square foot garage at $70 a square foot, that, you know, is 500 square feet at $70 a square foot, $35,000. Except, in this case, it has $15,000 in extra cost. And that's $15,000 extra dollars to take down those pine trees and to fill the holes where you ripped out the root balls. And that's even before you start framing. So the true answer at the conceptual stage, the true answer to what it's going to cost is at the conceptual stage, when you're deciding to do it or not do it, you really have to rely on the experience of the architect. And in some ways that sounds terrible. I'm looking at you and saying, trust me. But the only reason you have to trust me is I've been doing this for a long time. And it's very much in my interest to be accurate, to guess accurately on this front end so that you will have a successful project. And when we come back from the break, I'll go into that and, you know, try and come up with better rationales for those words, trust me.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leah Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun. Sarah and her guy Friday Anthony will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, I'm back, and that's how I left that last section. And it's really a tough one. One thing you have to talk to your, ask your architect up front is, why should I trust you? What is your experience? And because, you know, I've heard all of these stories about architects and builders, and it always seems as though you go in there and you actually end up spending, you know, 1.5 times, 2 times what you thought you were going to spend or what you were told up front. So when you're interviewing architects, and I really urge you to go to an architect first, not to a builder. I've got another show where I talked about builders and how they are not the first people to deal with in a renovation addition project or in a new home. They're not working for you. The architect is, but even then, you have to think, you know, why should I trust you? Why should I trust your numbers? So right up front, have this discussion about why you should trust. What's your experience? My experience is I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and I'm a Scotsman by heritage, and I'm a Scotsman by character, which means I care a whole lot about the dollars and cents. And I've recognized over the years that the most likely way for a project to fail is in the numbers, the money. We all know what we can want to spend. We know what we're comfortable spending, and know what the absolute limit of what we can spend is. And if you go into a project with unrealistic expectations, then on some level, when it comes out costing a lot more than what you thought, you failed. The architect failed. Not the builder, because the builder, it's not his business. He doesn't care what it costs you. He cares what it costs him and how much profit he makes. But, you know, he's not in it to look out for you. Okay, so I've been doing this for almost 30 years. And over that time, I built up a big database, both on paper and in my mind, of projects and, you know, what the costs have been. When I'm walking through the house with you and I'm thinking about the possible pieces of work, I'm also thinking about, you know, what did the last one I did cost? What did the last screen porch I did? What did that cost? How is this screen porch that we're talking about, how is this different from the last one that I did? And how does that affect the cost? when I look at a project, I'm walking through the house with you, I break down an overall project into its pieces and try to come up with a price for each piece. And that price is relative to a similar project that I've done in the recent past and the special conditions that I see. I can just talk about an example. A year ago, I had a consult with a couple who had done a very successful, large expansion, doubling of a home of one of this guy's business partners. So they were predisposed to like me and to view my work as being successful. So went and did the consult with them. And they live in the house that they'd purchased 15 years earlier as a new mid-level spec when that was what they could purchase for their income. They'd done very well and really could probably move to a better neighborhood, although their house now was on the low end of the neighborhood they're in. And this is part of it. This is important. If we're already on the top end of the neighborhood that you're in, you don't want to renovate and add money to that house because you're less likely to get it out than if you start out on the low end of the neighborhood and you build up. So they were in this house that they had basically not touched for 15 years and that did not reflect their current income or essentially view of themselves. We laid out a plan to totally expand and rejuvenate the home, to take it from that 15-year-old mid-level spec to something that's a whole class above. When I talk with people, one of the things I talk about is a conceptual appearance of the home. And what is a decent home at this level, if you just add rooms to it, it doesn't change. It's still a mid-level spec home. If you're going to put a whole bunch of money into it, you really want it to jump categories. You don't want to put 50% more into your house and have it remain in the same category, mid-level spec, that it was. So part of the trick is to get it to jump categories. It is now a nicer home, and the spaces in it are not the residual spaces of that old category, but rather the ones that fit with the new category of the home. Anyway, went through the house and laid out a whole bunch of work all through the house. And we came to the question, what is it going to cost? Very legitimate. So, boy, let me lay these down very quickly as we come close to break. We proposed adding a large great room to the house, which was a space it didn't have, 20 feet by 24 feet or 480 square feet at a cost of $150 a square foot, which is $70,000. The one extra feature to that was a grand stone fireplace at $14,000. Then, so we're up at $90,000, $76,000 plus $14,000. We're up at $90,000 for the great room. The next item is replacing the kitchen. Looking at the house, the neighborhood, I targeted a $35,000 package for cabinets, countertops, and appliances. Then looking at the other work involved in replacing the kitchen, you know, placed the cost of that of $60,000. Now we have $90,000 for the great room plus $60,000 for the kitchen. House did not have a mudroom. You walk directly from the garage into the kitchen. We added a mudroom, $10,000. Okay, her mother-in-law, her mother was come to live with them. So now that we'd added this new great room, we could take what was the living room and convert it into a mother-in-law bedroom and bath. So biggest cost is putting in the bath, but then other changes to make that a functional mother-in-law suite, $25,000. They had a two-car garage that was completely filled with all of their stuff. And so we added another garage bay, 15 feet by 20 feet. For, okay, 15 by 20 is 300 square feet at a cost of $70 a square foot, or again, $20,000. Finally, we went upstairs and we looked at the master bedroom was fine and was big, but the master bath was awful. Had all the pieces in it, but the pieces were very clumsily put in. The closets were small. There really wasn't anything worth saving in the master bath. Also, the difference between having a really nice bath and the bath they had was about 2 more feet. So it's real easy to essentially add a bay window. To cantilever out 2 feet is really easy to do. And we propose then popping out 2 feet in the master bath, putting in all new fixtures, all new finishes, new tile, making the closets, adding about a foot to each closet of width to each closet, because they were built smaller than. You should not have a 5-foot-wide closet with, you know, clothes on both walls. It needs to be at least 6 feet. Anyway, the master bath came out to $35,000. I estimated the master bath at $35,000. $25,000 for replacing the bath, fixtures and finishes, that sort of thing, plus $10,000 to pop out and get that extra, 2 feet by 18 feet or 36 feet at a very high cost. But that was the difference between a bath that was acceptable and a bath that was just too small. Last thing we did was the house had been built with hardboard siding. And, of course, hardboard siding, horizontal hardboard siding is not a great product. And after 15 years, it really looked beat up and some was rotting, failing. So the last part of this was just to strip the whole house and replace it with hardy board siding and hardy trim. This is really great. Hardy board is a really great product. Well, fiber cement board is a really great product, and next to brick, it is the most maintenance-free, long-lasting siding you can put on your home. So taking the 4,000 square foot house, stripping it, and putting on the hardy board worked out to be about $20,000. And now we added all of that up, put it together, came up with a price of $260,000. And I know this is a lot of numbers, so I'll get to, and they're hard to follow, but it lets you know how you take the pieces, break it down by piece, and then add it up to come to a total, rather than looking at the whole thing and guessing. Anyway, how did it come out? Well, designed the project and put it out for competitive pricing. I really believe in getting at least three prices on any project. And here we got three. Two were close. And one, well, two were very close to each other. And one was 100,000 high. But I told him up front that it was going to cost 260,000. Well, we signed the contract for 258,000, or almost exactly what I told him up front it was going to cost. And this is, I'm proud of it. It's a, you know, it's a great example. And it's a great example of how, you know, estimating up front matches the actual numbers that we saw. Signed the contract for $258,000. They did the work, got it all finished, including some extras that they added in. We ended up finishing the thing at $280,000. Or, you know, even with, well, almost exactly what we said up front it was going to cost. And there are a lot of reasons why that worked. But when we come back from the break, I'll switch and talk about how the contractor arrives at his price.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles? You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to cliparch@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
Hi, I'm sorry, I went quite long in that last segment and also tossed a whole bunch of numbers at you. But what I was trying to convey was that by breaking a big project down into its pieces, I could define based on past experience what I thought each one of those pieces would cost. And that particular project, I was amazed at. You know, I had told the people before we did a thing that was going to cost them $260,000. And they signed the contract for $258,000. So, which by the way was great value. Right now the contractors are more hungry than they were a few years ago. And you can get more for your money today. I don't know what's going to happen a year from now or 2 years from now, but almost definitely 2 years from now, you're going to not get as good a deal as you will right now. So really, if you're thinking about doing something, you can get a better deal today than you will if you wait. Now, how does a contractor arrive at his price? Very differently from how I arrived at it, but I'm going to use the same words. The contractor breaks the job down, but he breaks it down into tasks and subcontracts. And he builds the house in his head, is what he does. He builds it in his head. He starts with the grading. And he, you know, thinks about what's involved with the grading and tries to come up with a number for that task. Then the foundation work, then the framing work, the roofing, the siding, the insulation. Two of the most costly things in the house are especially in the renovation addition thing, are plumbing and electrical. And frankly, if you want to make money today, or less so at this moment, but truly, in our society, if you want to make money, become a plumber or an electrician. A lot of college professors don't make what they make. And sometimes disgusts me how much the electrical work costs on the job. Anyway, contractor builds, you know, takes each piece of the job and prices that piece. And let's use framing as an example. Well, he frames it. The framing, first of all, the labor is broken down two ways. The likely way is he just looks at the square footage of framing and from experience puts a number to it. Somewhere between $9 and $14 a square foot. If it's a very clean, new piece of framing, like a substantial addition on a house that's pretty by itself, you put a number of $9 a square foot for the labor to frame it. If it looks like it gets involved and there's back framing and connections to the existing house, may go up to $14 a square foot for the labor. That number is almost always is essentially a guesstimate based on past experience. The materials are totally different. The materials, he actually counts up every single piece of material used in the framing. He counts up every 2x4, 2x6, 2x8, all the nails and everything else needed for the job. And, you know, and sometimes, actually, today, often he subcontracts this to the material supplier. And in my area, Lowe's is a big supplier. So he'll give it to Lowe's and they give it to their takeoff man. And he adds up all of these things. He knows that a 60 or 100 lineal feet of framing requires 60 studs, you know, 62 by 4s, 8 feet long. He can add up every 2 by 6 used and every 2 by 8, and even gets down to how many pounds of 12D nails are going to be used on the job. So all of this is added up. All of this is added up and taken off. So it comes up with the cost for the actual materials for the framing. And sometimes I've also seen this done where the labor is figured as a multiplier of the material cost for framing. If there's $10,000 in materials, then they'll put a multiplier of 1.2 on that and say, figure the labor as 1.2 times that $10,000 or $12,000 for labor. The same sort of thing is done for each material. And, you know, in each part of the contract, whether it's the roofing, how much are the materials, how much is the labor. And then at the end of it, the contractor collects all of these numbers. Often it's usually about 30 numbers, but each contractor is different. And he puts it on the spreadsheet. He doesn't look at the overall job. Doesn't even think about that. He adds up all of the subcategories on the spreadsheet and comes up with the total. Some of these things on the spreadsheet are things that you and I would never think about. But he does because he's been bit by them before. Things like cleanup, trash removal, punch list. Cleanup, before you move into the house, he pays a crew to come in and completely clean everything. Trash remover, punch list. It may be mailbox that he's required to supply. The porter lat, the building permit. Anyway, adds up all of these numbers, comes up with the subtotal. This is the labor and materials. And essentially, the labor materials, that subtotal, is just passed through. It's not, that's money that just passes through the contractor onto somebody else, onto the material supplier, onto the labor subcontractor, onto his own workers. Then on top of that, he adds his fee, the overhead and profit. Now, if this is a new home, you know, that's very clean, first of all, if it's a new home, the numbers are large. And, you know, the framing package may be $70,000 instead of $7,000. The window package may be $50,000. The numbers are large, so, and the work is clean, so he can charge a relatively low percentage for his fee. Usually that's between 12 and 18% of the cost of the job. If it's a renovation job, the numbers are small. You know, the framing may only be $10,000, $20,000. There may be $3,600 in windows. Everything, all the numbers are smaller, but it takes almost as much effort to supervise, you know, $3,600 worth of windows as it does to supervise $36,000 worth of windows. Plus, the work is complex, and it requires a lot of supervision in Renovation Edition. So in Renovation Edition, you can expect to see fees of 15% to 22%. And, you know, substantially higher than the percentage fees for a clean, new construction. Just as an example, if the labor materials on this renovation job, labor materials add up to $100,000, then the contractor wants a 20% fee, then his fee is $20,000, and the total price is $120,000. This is how the contractor comes up with what it's going to cost. And when we come back from break, you know, I'll try and give you a little more of the psychology of how the contractor reaches his numbers.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our All-Star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Voice America Variety Channel presents a program like no other for those in the field and interested in the field of security and training. On America's front lines of crime and war with Victory Defense Consulting, hosted by J.J. Sutton. Here, listeners are learning about tactical skills and practices that support efficient, smarter, and more enduring skills. You will receive the most up-to-date information about the security and training industry with detailed discussions and select special guests each week. Tune in to On America's Front Lines of Crime and War, Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Clipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi. Feel as though today's topic is kind of dry and I'm talking about a bunch of numbers, but this is money. And in construction projects, the money is real big and the money can get away from you very quickly. So the truth is that, you know, money really counts in construction, and you really have to watch it and try and get just as accurate as you can on the front end. Try and stick with it all the way through. And always be conscious that you're spending money at a very fast rate and it can get away from you. Okay, in a perfect world, if you get a price, the process I've described for the contractor to arrive at his price, in a perfect world, if you get a price from three contractors, and each of them arrived at their cost, as I have described it, then you would see three equal numbers. The example I just gave with the $100,000 construction project with the $20,000 contractor's fee, $120,000. In the perfect world, they'd all come up with the same number. But of course they don't. If that were the case, then you'd only just get one, talk to one contractor and get one number. I always like talking to at least three contractors and getting three numbers. The first reason is because the only way to know that you're getting a good number is to have more, is to get more than one if you have something to compare to. And second, the only way to coerce a good number is to have more than one. Competition is a great thing, and competition always, I think, causes people to sharpen their pencil more than they would if they were just handed a job. Plus, as I said, if you're just handed a job, contractor's just handed the job, he gives you a price, you don't know whether that's a good price or not. So, why would you get three different prices if they're all, if the work is the same and they're all breaking it down and pricing each subcategory? Well, the first way I found was that this contractor forgot something. And, you know, he forgot something or he added something that wasn't in the contract, that wasn't supposed to be there. I can remember a true bid job on a commercial project I did years ago where the low bidder was 5% lower than anybody else. And we were all surprised and happy because this was a good number for the job. Came to us later and said he forgot to put grading. You know, he forgot to include the grading in his spreadsheet. And that's why his number was 5% lower, because he forgot to put 5% of the work in there. Or, you know, another thing that might happen is that on a particular item, this contractor has a cheaper sub. He knows somebody who will do his stonework for $20 a square foot instead of the $25 a square foot that, you know, most people, most of them are asking. Or this contractor has a more pricey sub. And sometimes that's a good thing, especially with stone, which is a real artistic item. Say, they'll say, you know, I've got a really good stonemason and he's worth it. Sometimes their plumber is just charging them a higher price, and unless they have something to compare it to, they don't know that their plumber is charging them 50% more than the other plumbers. Third way that they vary is in the overhead and profit, the contractor's fee. This contractor is hungry, and or he runs a very lean shop. He's willing to do the work for 12%. This other contractor has a secretary and an accountant and a supervisor, and he needs to get 20% overhead and profit to make it worthwhile for him. So obviously, if all the sub numbers are the same, that one contractor is going to be 8% more than the other one. The question for you, the owner, with the architect's help to figure out is whether it's worth it. Is it worth 8% more to you to have that guy with his larger, more, you know, established organization do the work? This all goes into the cost, and it is why I'm amazed where I'll see, well, actually, I'm running out of time. So next week, we're going to talk about doing it yourself and the pros and cons of doing your own work, acting as your own contractor. And there are real pros and cons, and part of it is the work and the dangers. Part of it is yourself, and you really have to examine yourself and see, am I up to this, or is it going to destroy my marriage and make me into a raving lunatic? So next week, we'll talk about whether or not to be a raving lunatic and be your own contractor. See you then.
Again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.